economists usually worry about inflation, but in today's economic downturn, many are starting to be concerned about deflation. And there are signs that it could become a serious problem in Spain. Here to explain why deflation has economists so worried is Nelson Schwartz, European economics correspondent for the New York Times. I'm pleased to welcome him to today's first underreported segment. Hello.
Hi, how are you? Good to be here.
I'm okay. Is deflation a possibility all around Europe?
Well, it's clearest in the economies that have been the most hard hit. Spain is the classic example. That's why I went there to report on it, and it's the economy where you're seeing it very clearly in the numbers. It's also beginning to turn up a bit in Ireland, Portugal, and other countries. Some of these are around the periphery of Europe, which are among the hardest hit. It's less of a concern in Germany, whose economy is not great, but it's less severe than in Spain.
At one point, weren't economists mostly worried about inflation in the UK?
They were. That was then. Simply put, I mean, in Spain, the combination of just a tremendous contraction, in large part from the real estate sector, not unlike the United States, where there was tremendous borrowing and tremendous run-up in real estate prices, along with a broader contraction in the economy and very, very high unemployment, has created the deflationary cycle. The unemployment rate in Spain is around over 17%. So consumers don't want to spend. Businesses cut prices. They then have less revenue. So what do? They cut workers. And that cycle scares economists because once it starts, it's very hard to reverse.
Well, new numbers released today show that Spain's deflation rate was the same as March's 0.1%.
Mm-hmm.
Is that considered a high rate of deflation? The reason I ask is, isn't it a similar rate to what we've seen in the Consumer Price Index here in the United States?
It is similar on the surface. I think the difference is, in the United States, it's driven more by volatile food and energy prices. In Spain, you're seeing things like hotels, restaurants, clothes, things that normally don't go down, go down. I interviewed the CEO of a company that makes intercoms and equipment for houses and apartments, like with the little video screen. He cut prices by a third, to boost sales. When they didn't go up, he had to cut more workers, including two salesmen in New York. So, you see the global impact there, and you see it with products that you wouldn't expect to fall. On the food topic, which, again, food prices are notoriously volatile. However, I went to the central market in Valencia, and I was amazed to find, fresh fish, swordfish or tuna, was down 50%, because basically people have stopped buying expensive fish, and they buy cheap fish. So you're having huge drops in prices, which is really it's been unknown in Spain over the last, two decades when it's enjoyed a big boom.
Other than food, aren't the price decreases you're talking about on the wholesale level? Because if I remember correctly, European laws make it more difficult to just put everything on sale whenever you want to.
Actually, you are seeing on the wholesale level. However, Spain freed up its economy more than, France or Germany. Where I live in Paris, sales are restricted to, after Christmas and other periods, and you're absolutely right.
Two times a year, if I remember correctly.
It's quel dommage, as they say in France. No, it's not like New York, where you can get bargains easily. However, Spain really followed more of an American model and freed up its economy, both in terms of workers and letting workers go, which is one reason why the unemployment rate's so high, and as well as sales and cutting prices. So it's a bit more flexible than the quote old Europe, France and Germany. So that's why you're seeing it a bit more. The one added danger for Spain is it uses the euro currency, of course, now. So it doesn't make its own interest rates. They're set by the European Central Bank in Frankfurt. So there's in the U.S. or in the U.K., if you have deflation, the central bank can simply cut interest rates or flood the market with money as America and U.K. are doing. You can't do that in Spain because the Germans and the French are still concerned about inflation rather than deflation.
You mentioned earlier that Spain's jobless rate is now more than 17%. And that's a little over 4 million people out of work, the highest in the EU. Mm-hmm. Even worse is the rate among workers under the age of 25 is up to 31.8%. That's incredible. Is the Spanish economy particularly vulnerable to that and then to the deflation that follows?
Well, Spain's always had a higher structural unemployment rate than, say, France or Germany, in part because of the agricultural sector and also a tremendous influx of immigrants, both from new EU countries like Romania and Slovakia, places like that, along with South America, where many people came looking for jobs. So that's one reason why unemployment is so high, and just businesses are very leery of hiring because of this deflationary cycle. I went to a soup kitchen and in Valencia, which is was a quite prosperous city, and people, for starters, there's many, many immigrants are now coming to the soup kitchen, and even this is new, Spanish-born people who, as the director of the soup kitchen said, don't look like the people we normally see here.
Deflation was a problem during the Great Depression, mm-hmm. and then it hit Japan during its recession in the 1990s. What kinds of tools do economists or governments have to slow or reverse it?
The best tools are to cut interest rates to near zero, and also
That been done already?
Not in Europe. It's been done in the United States and in the UK. But again, the ECB has been reluctant to go to that stance because Germany, as you might recall, has terrible memories of inflation in Weimar, and that remains a German preoccupation in inflation, even if you're not seeing the numbers. And the Germans and the French have much more say at the ECB than, say, the Spaniards or the Irish. That's one tool is cutting interest rates, and then again is the what they call the sort of unconventional methods like buying up debt, which is being done in the U.S. and in the U.K., or printing money. People may have heard that term. Again, because of those fears of inflation, particularly in Germany, the ECB doesn't want to take that. The technical term is a quantitative easing.
But earlier this week, the Spanish Prime Minister, José Luis Rodríguez Zapatero, said that he would like to see the European Union's economic powers increased. Does he think that they would come to the aid of Spain?
I mean, if Spain were, in terms of default on its debt or that something so severe, yes, I think Europe would come to their aid. But if there's deflation going on in the Spanish economy, I don't think necessarily the ECB, the European Central Bank, would reverse its policies. And the key here is that under the rules that the ECB was created and the euro was introduced a decade ago, the quantitative easing and these kind of unconventional methods can't be undertaken by the ECB. I mean, the rules would have to be changed, and the ECB member countries don't want to do that, even despite the words of Spanish officials.
But aren't many of those countries upset that the ECB is resisting cutting interest rates?
They are. They are frustrated, but I think the bottom line is, Germany is Europe's biggest economy, and they are the power, Germany and France are the powers that be at the ECB. Spain and Ireland are not. That's one thing. Number two, I think there's a feeling in Europe that Spain and Ireland had such a huge boom, especially fueled by real estate, that I don't want to say it serves them right, but let's just say there isn't as much sympathy as you could expect. The problem is, once this deflationary cycle starts, it's easy for it to spread to other countries. So that European division is worrisome, because this isn't an economic phenomenon you want to have started anywhere, but particularly in an economy as large as the overall EU.
Well, when the EU was created, everybody saw it as an only positive step. Is this mm-hmm. the downside?
This is the downside. You don't have the monetary policy tools and fiscal policy tools in each country that you'd want. I mean, they can adjust their budgets, they can cut spending, but they can't change interest rates or do these unconventional methods that we're having to take now, but as you said, nobody foresaw a decade ago when the euro or the ECB was created.
Nelson Schwartz is the European economics correspondent for the New York Times. Thank you so much for talking with us on today's Underreported.
Great to be here.